Welcome to Valley Creek. We are a movement of hope for the city and beyond, and we're so glad you're listening to our podcast today. Whatever platform you're on, hit the subscribe or follow button so you get notified each week when a new message releases. Also, check out Valley Creek Plus for the latest resources to help you as you follow Jesus. And we'd love to stay connected with you. You can find us on your favorite social media platform or on valleycreek.org. Now let's join with all our campuses as we jump into our message today.
Well, we've been in a series all year long called A Different Way. We've been learning to do the things that Jesus did so we can do the things that Jesus did. And today is the season 4 recap. We've broken up the year into seasons. This is the fourth and final season of the series. And this season, we've been in a specific verse out of Mark chapter 8. It says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a person to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their very soul? We've been learning that there's an order to it. And the order is we have to be willing to deny ourselves, to take up the ways of Jesus and begin to follow him. I was thinking about that old song, I have decided to follow Jesus. Not quite as popular as I have decided to deny myself and pick up my cross and follow Jesus. Because it starts with a willingness to say, man, I just give up my ways, my wants, my desires, my selfishness, and I take up Jesus's ways, his will for my life, his goodness, his plans for me. That's what it takes to live a different way, is to say it's not me, it's him. And so before we really get into a lot of what we're going to do today, we're going to take some time in just a moment, and we're going to really process what we've learned in season 4. But I want to share some stories with you about what God's been doing across our church family that have been amazing. They've been profound. The first one I want to say is I've heard a lot of people that are stepping into community at a whole different level, but here's what's different about this season. I'm hearing families say things like, I want to hang out with people that are going the same direction. And not just going the same direction, but going the same speed into the kingdom. I want to have families that are like parenting the way we parent and leading their kids the way we lead them and are like actually doing this thing. And so I've heard of a few families that have arranged their calendar to actually get like weekly time with whatever family that is. They don't even necessarily know them that well. They just like their kingdom style. They like the way they're going. They like the way their family is moving forward in Jesus' name. That's a great way to think about community, building relationships to seek God together. Another one to encourage you is stories of serving. This past weekend, we had our largest serve team gathering for host teams that we've had in 5 years. That's how many people wanted to step in and follow Jesus in the area of serving. You see, Jesus is the head of Valley Creek, and he's already declared that Valley Creek would be a body that serves. And so as we step into that, I believe God's going to do so much more among us. And then I heard incredible stories of generosity. Probably one of my favorites was that a team member, a leader at Valley Creek, got a call from somebody that said, hey, we want to give because we know we're supposed to give actual money. That was one of our practice plans, to be generous towards someone else. And we heard the number 918. So we think we're supposed to give $918, but we're going to round it up to 1,000 to give to this person. If you could give it to them anonymously, that would be awesome. So then the person that was receiving the money, they're like, they're just blown away, right? And the leader goes, hey, does the number 918 mean anything to you? Wouldn't you know? Person goes, yep, I have 2 medical bills that precisely add up to $918, and I didn't know how I was going to pay them. And so that just like opened up and renewed their faith and their confidence in that moment. That was incredible. And then I heard another one, which was just... this one maybe is my favorite of all of them. This is what I call trickle-down kingdom economics, okay? Here we go. We had a 20-year-old who wanted to, this is crazy, he wanted to buy his friend a car. Now, I don't know what your financial position was when you were 20 years old, but that's not easy. Now, he had saved up about $3,000. That is a difficult price to buy a car. You're going to be fixing it up a little bit in that price range. So another family within our church heard about the generosity, they decided that they wanted to just gift that boy the car. So they gave the car to him because they were so moved by it. So then the 20-year-old who planned the $3,000, you think, oh, well that's great. I just got $3,000 back. and instead found out about somebody who's currently in the hospital because of a crash, facing massive medical bills and massive reconstructive surgery. So he decided to switch where he was going to give the money and give it to them instead. Okay, so just think of all the layers and levels of generosity that takes. From the car to the family to still giving away the money, that is incredible. And then this last week, I heard amazing stories of confession and repentance. We heard across circles of Valley Creek that people were wide open to just saying, like, I need to confess. I want to be free of this. I need to repent to go Jesus's way. Heard one of a guy that was in a circle who boldly confessed his sin that was both awkward and honestly kind of humiliating. And on the backside of doing it, he was encouraged by his brothers. He could have kind of left it there and instead said, no, I actually need to tell this to my wife. And so had the conversation with her, and they came up with a game plan for him to actively repent and turn away from that sin, that area of his life. And here's what he said, and I quote, I was tired of my words without action, my confession without repentance. I have to stop being the king of my own domain and submit to his kingdom. I have found freedom and forgiveness. Praise God. Praise God. Man, it's happening. God is moving among us in a different way. And so I want to give you a chance. Go ahead and grab your journal. Grab your red journal, your different way journal. For those of us that don't maybe have that, I'm going to encourage you, scan the QR code at the seat back in front of you. I know you might have to lean over somebody. If you scan that with your phone, it's going to take you to all the notes that we're talking about and a chance to process where we're going over the next few minutes. You see, we're going to take some time. And we're going to actually synthesize what God has been speaking to us. We're going to think deeply about deep things. And we're going to ask the Lord to speak to us about what he's been speaking to us during this season 4 of A Different Way. So grab your journal. And the first thing I want to give you time for is to take some time to review the notes from season 4. On the QR code, you can scan those and review the season 4 notes. Or you can look at your journal. Whatever you took over those 4 weeks, give you about 5 minutes to review all that Jesus spoke to us over this past season, and then I'll come back and we'll keep on going. Thank you. want to invite you to ask the question, what is the Holy Spirit saying to me? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you about what God has spoken? What are you sensing? What has he been speaking throughout this season? Take a moment and write that down in your journal. See, the Holy Spirit's always speaking. And for those that have really ears to hear, he can tell us great and amazing things about what's to come. Okay, next thing I want you to do is grab a pen and write down your season 4 summary statement. You see, we've been doing these recaps all year long, and at the end of each season, we've had a recap sentence, a singular sentence that recaps what that season has spoken to us. Go ahead and take a moment and write that down. I'll give you about 2 minutes for that. And then we're going to come back and do something really, really special. Okay, when you came in, you got one of these cards. Go ahead and grab that. Grab that from wherever that's sitting. And this card has two sides to it. Go to the side that says season 1, 2, 3, and 4. And start by writing your season 4 summary statement at the bottom, the one that you just did or the one that you just thought through. You can write that down there. And if you don't fully understand even what that is, or if you weren't here for all of it, that's okay. You can still work through the summary notes that are on the QR code, or here's mine, actually. These are my actual summaries of the 4 seasons. And man, I'm in this with you. So we're in it together. The Lord has been speaking to me all year long, and I'm really excited even about what's in these 4 summary statements, because what I notice about it is I'm growing. I'm changing. Towards the beginning, I could see where God was working on the inside of me, and then he started to lift my head towards him, and now I feel more outward focus and kind of getting outside myself. And so how about you? What are your four seasons of summary statements? Go back in your notes, look at 1, 2, 3, and 4, and write those into this card. This is important for those of you that have really been tracking with us, because you're not going to turn it in, but we are going to keep this and use it again in January. You heard it here. We're going to keep this and hold on to it and use it again as we come into 2025. So 1, 2, 3, 4. What are your summary statements from each season? You guys are doing so good. I can hear all the journal pages flipping over, and I know it's hard to search all that out, right? If you've been writing the whole year, you're kind of going on a treasure hunt, but good job searching those out, putting those all in one place so we can have those as kind of this map of what God has shown and done over this year. Now you can flip to the other side of the card. Take a look at the other side of the card. It's got four questions on it. It says, what does a different way mean to you? What is a disciple of Jesus? What is a spiritual practice? And who are you becoming, and who do you want to become? Now, even if you've been kind of checked out for this whole time and haven't been tracking, you can answer these questions right now. And just to be clear, there's no right answers. This is like whatever you truly are sensing for it, what God has spoken to you so far, that's what you want to write down as the answer. Let me give you a little bit more time. I'm going to give you about 6 or 7 minutes for this to answer these four questions that are on this side of the card. So all year long, we have been learning that it's just not enough to be hearers of the word. We actually want to be doers. It's not enough to just hear messages. We actually have to put them into practice to be able to synthesize what we've heard in enough of a way that our own minds can take it in and say, this isn't just a good message. This isn't just a year of a great series. This is transformative to the rest of my life. And so for each one of you that's going on the journey and on a number four question, you're getting a really clear sense of who you're becoming and who you want to become. What I declare over you is may it be in Jesus' name. May exactly what you wrote down come to pass in your life. And may you see yourself growing and changing, becoming more like Jesus. And so you've done really good job walking through that. I know that takes a little bit of time and a little bit of your mind share, but it's worth it. And so really to finish everything out, we can't think of a better way to do it than to take communion together. So our teams can become they can come forward as we get ready to take communion. And the reason that we really want to end all of it, all of the different ways series, all the seasons with communion is because it's the best reminder that this is all about grace. The whole thing, spiritual practices, practicing the way of Jesus, learning to do the things that Jesus did. It's all about grace. It's always about grace. It's always been about grace. It always will be about grace. And communion, like the spiritual practices, is a means of grace. Communion is this reminder that the grace of Jesus is pouring all over our life in so many different ways. And I think if we're honest with you as a leadership team, we've had a sense that that some of the 12 practices, some of this year, almost has a bit of an internal striving, like, oh, am I going to do this? Am I doing it right? Am I getting it right? Did I write down all the questions right that Jason just asked me? Like, I think that's inside of us. And so on top of all of that that maybe is on the inside, we just speak the grace of Jesus over your life. May the grace of Jesus and the faith that comes by following and believing in Jesus and the love of the Father just be on top of everything that we've done during this year. May it sit on the top of all the conversations we've had and what we've experienced as a church. May there just be this outpouring of grace in your heart and your soul and your mind. Because communion's for everybody that's placed their faith in Jesus and is like, okay, I'm in. I'm going to not do it just on my own in my own strength. I'm going to do it in the strength he provides. I'm not going to do it because I'm good enough. I'm going to do it because he's good enough. I'm going to walk out the life he's given me, not because I got it all together, but that Jesus has already given me everything I need for life and godliness. He's the one that's called me to it. It's always by grace. You see, grace is really defined as just supernatural empowerment and undeserved favor in every part of our life. You get this undeserved favor that comes from Jesus, and because of that, it empowers every part of the life he's called you to. So his undeserved favor, grace, what he has done, gives me the confidence to live a life based on what he has done, not based on what I have to do. And his supernatural empowerment actually helps me live the life he's called me to. That's the beauty of grace. Communion is just fresh grace. It reminds us that our life really is not of our own doing, our own will, our own strength, our own manpower. It's of God power. It's not of human will, it's of his will. It's not of my strength, it's the strength that he provides me. So even as we get ready to take communion together, may you just have a sense that grace, like rain, is pouring over your life and your family. And that this entire season of living a different way, of learning to do the things that Jesus did, has been based on and based in the grace of Jesus, the undeserved favor and the supernatural empowerment in every area of your life. See, on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took a hold of the bread. He was setting up the disciples with clarity that they couldn't do it on their own. They could only do it in the finished work that he had finished and what he was about to do. So he grabbed a piece of bread and he broke it. And he looked at the disciple and he said, this is my body. It's going to be broken for you. You're going to be broken. I'm going to be broken so that you could always be made whole. I'm going to finish the work so that in your life and your striving, your mind and your anxiety, you can finish striving. You can finish trying to do it on your own. You can take on what I'm going to do. So he took that bread and he broke it. He said, this is my body broken for you. Let's take it in remembrance of him. In the same way, he grabbed a hold of a cup and he said, there's going to be a new way of doing things. It's not going to be based on the old way of you trying to earn and strive and get your own forgiveness, of you practicing to become something in your own strength. It's going to be in what I have to do and what I'm going to do and my blood that's going to be shed for you. See, this is the blood that's going to be shed for the forgiveness of sins. And it's going to create a new agreement between God and man. And that agreement has a signature line, and that line is signed grace. And that agreement has what I'm going to do for you right at the top and the bottom and all the way through it. And your entire life is going to be based on grace, on Jesus, on what I have done. Every time we take of the cup, we remember his grace. Let's take it together. Thank you, Jesus, that you are a means of grace. You are everything. Everything we ever could need or will need, it's found in you. Every practice that we've been practicing this year has been a means of grace, experiencing more of your love, more of your heart, more of your life. So I just declare over our church that we are becoming people of grace. We are becoming persons of love. We are becoming everything you've called us to be because we're practicing your ways and learning to live as you lived. So over each person in this room, may they both become it, and in the future, may they be who you've called them to be. In Jesus' name.
So what a great year it has been together, going on this journey of living a different way. Can you believe it? For a year, we've taken our attention and our heart and our focus, and we've just talked about doing the things that Jesus did so we can do the things that Jesus did. And I am so proud of you. I'm so proud of you for leaning in, for listening, for following, for practicing, for trying, for training. And we've all grown so much together. And as we wrap up season 4 and we kind of finish up the series, it's really the end of a series, but it's the beginning of a lifestyle. And so here's what I want to tell you. I know we went through 12 practices and it was a lot. Some of you are very overwhelmed with all these practices thinking, oh my gosh, what do I do? Where do I start? What do I do now? Listen, no problem. Take a big deep breath. All I wanted to do was to expose you at what these practices look like and how we can do them, like walking you through a gym, showing you all the different machines. And then in January, we're going to take just 2 weeks together and we're going to create a training plan for 2025 of how each of us as individuals can train to become godly, how we can arrange our lives around doing one or two of the things that Jesus did so we can do the things that Jesus did. You see, I would love to do that now, but if you just look at the calendar, next week is baptisms, and then it's Thanksgiving, and then it's December, and we want to prepare our hearts for Christmas, so we'll do a little Christmas series, then it's Christmas services, then it's the week off where we all rest, and then it's a new year. And then in January, we will build a training plan together so we can move forward and not lose all of this, but allow it to become a part of who we are and how we live our lives. I am so proud of you, and I am so excited about who we're becoming and how we're growing as we're learning to live a different way together. This is the end of the series. but it is the beginning of a new lifestyle. And together we will create a plan in January for you to walk out all of 2025, all of the things we learned together in 2024. So Valley Creek, I love where we're going. I love what we're doing. And I love how it's going in you.